You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Good to be with you all this morning. Let's continue with our identity statements together. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Thank you very much. And we are in a conversation from the book of Amos. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, we're going to take a look at one verse specifically this morning from the book of Amos. Amos was a prophet, and he spoke truth to power of his day. The friends, the neighbors, the people that were around him that he lived with, he was a part of a community that had twisted and turned upside down the reality of God in their lives. Twisted and turned upside down. So on Sundays they were at church and they were doing the right things and they were saying the right things. But during the rest of the week, their lives were showing a different picture, a different reality. This week I was reminded over and over again, have you ever had one of those weeks where you had the same things coming to you? You like saw a pattern throughout the week, whether it was something that someone had said or something you read or just God was speaking to your heart and there was witness after witness after witness. I call that confirmation. There's those moments where all the dots in my week are being connected to bring a particular picture. And for me, the picture this week was inside and outside. Inside and outside. It's easy to have your life neat and orderly and feel like I'm in control of life on the outside. You know how that goes? We work really hard to keep our yard nice, to keep our exterior life and world nice. But then there's those moments where we realize the inside, the internal world, is maybe a little bit less than mirroring or patterning the same design that we would like to have everyone think or believe that is a reality in our lives. There's those times that what's going on the inside doesn't always match what's going on the outside. It's easy today to put forth a particular persona, our identity, our ego of who we are and what we do. From dress all the way down to Facebook, to the words, the vernacular that we use, to the car we drive, to the neighborhood we live in, it's easy to put forth something on the outside, and then that what's on the outside doesn't always match up or sync up with what's on the inside. So this past week, the inside, outside. Inside, outside. We all know that there's those times on the inside when it's cool and it's calm and it's collected. It's peaceful and it's quiet on the inside. Where is your happy place? I love asking people that. Where's your happy place? There's some times that I have to remind myself of my happy place and I have to go there on the inside. For me, one of my I think we could say most profound spiritual experiences was sitting on a rock in the middle of the Llano River. There was a big tree nearby and I sat there. This was probably 15 years ago, a little bit less than 15 years ago. And I remember I was single, footloose, fancy free, not a care in the world. I got away for a weekend and I remember just sitting there on that rock in the river and it was just, I was at peace with the world. Everything was right on the inside and on the outside. That's not something that I've been able to recreate and put into a bottle and market. I wish I could sometimes because I know that I'd make a fortune if I could make that happen. But there's those times in my life where there's a lot of chaos going on the outside and I've got chaos going on the inside. And sometimes I'm hurting and I'm broken and I'm disappointed. And I long for those experiences that I've had in the past when it was just Jesus and me sitting in a rock in the middle of a river. And so what I'll do is I'll get alone for however much alone time I can gather. Sometimes it's just 20 minutes in the morning. And I'll just sit for those 20 minutes. I'll just say, Jesus, I want to be with you right now, just like I had been with you in the past. Just like when I was sitting under that tree on that rock in the river and everything was okay. I want to be reminded that you are still the same Jesus that was with me back then. You're the same Jesus who has come into this moment right now. I know I've got stress, I've got pressure, I've got a lot of things going on around me. And I'll take 20 minutes and I'll just sit with Jesus. I'll just listen. I'll just be still. I'll just remind myself of the reality of his presence in my life. This morning, if you don't have that happy place, if you don't have that God place, I encourage you to begin seeking to have that sort of a place created in your life, even if it's just 20 minutes, just a short snippet of time in your life. Because I want to be authentic and I want to be genuine. I don't want to live a life on the outside that I've got it all together. Yesterday at the wedding that I performed out at Lake Buchanan, a beautiful setting. Of course, everyone was just in wearing their finest. And I had the bride and the groom before the wedding. They came to me and they said, Ryan, just so you know, you don't have to wear a suit or a tie. And I was just like, yes! I'm not really a suit and tie kind of a guy. I have two suits, and they're my Marion and Berrien suits. And I've got my black cowboy boots, my Marion and Berrien cowboy boots. And they come out for special occasions. But as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, I'm there as a representative for Jesus. And in this moment, in this time, there's going to be those from older generation. And it means a lot to the older generation, grandmas and grandpas, great grandmas and great grandpas that were going to be there. If the minister wears a suit and a tie. And so in that moment, that struggle on the inside, who am I? What do I stand for? What do I believe? What do I move towards in my life? I had to decide, is the inside going to reflect the outside? And the inside, I want to love and I want to honor those that I spend time with, like each of you. You know, you want to love and honor and to express a genuine and sincere the reality of Jesus in your heart and in your life. And there's those moments when it might not always be my first thought, yeah, I'm going to wear a suit and tie. This is the first wedding I've ever been told I didn't have to wear a suit and tie, I think. But I did. I did. Why? Because I'm continuing to identify with love on the inside. That love that constrains me, that love that draws me. I wanted to be there not just to love this couple who are beginning their lives together, but also wanted to love the community, their family that was there as well. It's silly, a suit and a tie. But you wouldn't believe how many people came up to me after the ceremony and said, you look great today. You know, you look nice. You look nice. Inside and outside. Inside and outside. Sometimes there's these currents that we experience on the outside. Maybe we could say that there's this current in our lives, our work lives, that pull us in a particular direction. In that category or in that flow of life, we could say that there's finances that are tied into that flow. There's retirement, our savings, our house, our home, our car, education for our kids. There's all these things that are tied into this flow. And then maybe there's another flow of our family. How are things in our relationships? How's our emotional and relational health right now? How are we doing with connecting on a heart level? Or are we just going through the motions? Or is there strife? Or is there friction? Or are we trying to find a new normal together and wrestling through all of this? There's these currents that go in different directions in our lives. And there's a current, I would say it's the Jesus current in my life that I want to continue to step into and be aware of and allow that to be what motivates me from the inside out to do what I do, to go where I go, to be who I am. But it's very easy for me, anyways, to find myself going in a lot of different directions and feel like I'm just getting whipped around rocks and curves in the river bend, and I feel like I'm just out of control and I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing in my life. This week I was reminded of one of my favorite pastimes. In the Boy Scouts, you get this Boy Scout handbook, and there's something really cool within the scouting program that they teach you, and that's how to find your way in different situations. Have you ever been in a place where you felt maybe you were lost, like physically lost, like you didn't know where you were going to go? I know in a day and age where we all have GPS on our phones, at our fingertips, we're never lost, we're never unsure of where we're going. But as a kid growing up, it was pre-iPhone. Some of you are pre-iPhone. And so we actually learned how to use maps and how to use compasses. And one of the things that I thought was so cool is there were two different maps that we would use. One was just a map of roads. And then there were these maps that were called topographical maps. You ever seen a topo map? I love topo maps. Well, part of kind of teaching how to understand and relate to a topographical map, we would take our and make a fist and then get a pen, and we would write on our hands, on our knuckles, the circles around and around and around that demonstrated the elevation of our fist, of our hand. The closer the lines are on a topographical map, it means that it's a quick elevation. The more distance between lines on a topographical map, it means it's a slow, gradual grade. And it was so much fun as kids to be let loose in the woods by our scoutmaster and handed a map and a compass and said, get from point A to point B. And to look and to try to find certain waypoints in the process. Elevation. There were moments that we would find ourselves at the bottom of a pretty steep incline, a mountain that was beginning to go up, and we would always look at the topographical map and think, okay, is there a way for us to go around it, or do we have to go all the way up this incline? Geography affects our world in many different ways. With all the rain we've had here in Texas, anybody find themselves in a position where there was some flooding that took place? Those low-lying areas, low water crossings. We have those moments where we live our lives and we're not aware of really what the lay of the land is around us, where the ground is, and if there's moisture, where that's going to funnel to. But then there's those times where we do become very keenly aware of all of that. I recently came across a map, and this is a map of the 18 river basins here in the lower 48 states. Each of the colors represents the major waterways and systems here in the United States. I'm going to show you a quick video of the Mississippi, specifically the Mississippi waterway. This is a fantastic little clip. Starts way up here, up north, towards Canada. Begins to come down. Mississippi, Louisiana. Look at those waterways. Let's see if I can stop it right there. Yep. Oh, no, not going to let me do that. Well, you can see here, the pink is the flow. It's the flow. It's where all of the rivers come into the one place. Where do rivers flow? They flow downstream to the ocean. It's where they go. Water's pretty important for us, especially here in Texas. I'm grateful for the water that we have, the rain that we've had here recently. The top portion of the map shows much of the specific Northwest Basin, illustrated in color brownish orange up here. And the upper and lower Colorado River Basin stand out as well in bright yellow. Water is important as the settlers pushed their way west. What was the main path of travel for them as they went from the eastern region further west and further west and further west? It was the waterways. Waterways. Why? Because you need to be able to drink. There's life that is surrounding the river. There's life that comes there to get water. There's fish. So cities, major cities, began to spring up. That's where the settlements were, where there was water, where water came together. Life was known to be present there, and there was a confidence and there was a hope that in the future water would continue to be there. The river is here. The river is following the rocks. It's following the topography. It's going to that lowest place, eventually getting to where? The ocean. The ocean. In Solomon, he says, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Let's read this together. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. King Solomon understood water. He understood geology. He understood that things move in a particular direction. And he talks about this circle. He didn't necessarily know of what happens to the water in the ocean as it evaporates and goes up into the clouds, and the clouds are moved and then drop the rain and the rain flows back down to the ocean. He didn't have all those scientific details, and yet he knew that there was something that was moving everything. There was this movement. And he had a confidence that it was moving in the direction it was supposed to move. Was following a particular course. The scripture I'd like to look at in the book of Amos is Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, verse 24 says this, "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing," what? Stream. Ever-flowing stream. Again, Amos is confronting his friends, his family, his neighbors, his community in a moment when the life that's on the inside is not matching the life that's on the outside. The life that's on the inside is not matching the life on the outside. They had come to a place where literally they were buying and selling their neighbors, their friends, and their family so that they could profit themselves, so they could come to that place of, we have more security. There was a lack of love, and yet on those feast days when they all gathered to express their love and their appreciation and their devotion to God, everyone did the right things and said the right things in that public forum. And yet when it came time to getting back into the flow and the current of their work life, into their relational life with the people around them, the current was flowing in a different direction than what they were putting forth was really taking place in their lives. I want to take just a few seconds here to ask the question, what is justice? This justice is supposed to roll down like waters, righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. What does it mean to follow this flow of God in our lives? The word righteousness just simply means to do what is right in the Lord's eyes. Do what is right in the Lord's eyes. But what had happened in the hearts and the lives of the children of Israel is that they were missing what was that true self, that life of God within them. They were missing it, and they were blind to what God's heart really was. Justice, doing what is right. So whenever there was a problem or an issue, it was not, let's do what God's heart is in this situation. It was, let's do what is going to benefit the old pocketbook in this situation. What is going to make me more secure and better in this moment? How can I leverage this time and this place to put myself in the position of superiority instead of what is God's heart in this time? What is God's heart in this moment? The prophet Amos says, what about justice? It says, let justice roll down like waters. My kids love to play in the bathtub. By the time the bath is over, there's normally more water outside of the bathtub than inside of the bathtub. Why? Because water is what? Rolling everywhere. It's flowing everywhere. It just is. It's everywhere. Let justice flow. What's interesting about this word picture is, what does water do? It flows down. Flows down. Within the culture that they had created, they were saying that justice was supposed to benefit those who were at the top instead of justice benefiting those who were in need of God's love, God's compassion, God's mercy. Those who were sick, those who were broken, those who were without. Justice was supposed to be going uphill, which is against gravity. And you know what? That's not the pattern we see in our world when it comes to what fills the oceans. And then secondly, righteousness. Righteousness is this attitude and actions that reveal we are connected to Jesus or connected to God. Righteousness means to be right with God, that there is this hand in hand living out life with God in a way that demonstrates we need God and God is embracing and loving us. Righteousness. Righteousness, right with this connectedness with God. So Amos stands up in his culture in his day and says, excuse me, there's a disconnect between the streams, the flows in your life that you're saying are going in one direction, but the reality is that your heart and then the reality of the way you're treating the people around you, it's flowing in the opposite direction of what you are trying to say you value and what is most important to you. We see Jesus come to this earth and he demonstrates what happens when righteousness and justice are flowing and pouring down upon the people around him. When the kingdom of God is this flow that we have stepped into and is taking us in the direction of God's love and God's life, to reach out and to help and to hold and to support those who are in need. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Let's read this together. Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35 and 38. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. With a huge harvest, he said to his disciples, "How few workers on your knees and pray for the harvest hands." Ultimately, Jesus wanted to see that those who were around him that were in that place to receive that life-giving flow of God's righteousness and God's justice. Those men and women, those boys and girls who said yes to God's perspective in a given situation, that said yes, the flow of God's acceptance is flowing down. It's flowing down. It totally flies in the face of our idea of networking today. You know what networking is? You're supposed to network. You meet somebody, you get a connection with them, and what is that connection supposed to do? Those of us on LinkedIn, it gives you a platform to step up to another level, to meet somebody who might not necessarily be in the same realm or the same plane as you, but you're able to use it to step up to the next place, to meet that next person, maybe a business owner, maybe somebody who has more power and more influence. That's what networking is all about in our day and age. And yet, what does Jesus do? His righteousness and his justice, the picture of who God is and what God has for us, flows down. Who are the folks that Jesus is spending his time with as he's making his circuit, as he's visiting from place to place? When he looked out over the crowds, his heart, what's it say? It broke. It broke. Why? Because as he was telling the kingdom news, as he was reporting on what was going on, he was also coming in contact with those whose bodies were broken, needed healing, their lives were bruised to the very core. And his heart was opened up, and his passion was that the love of the Heavenly Father would flow down into their lives, just like a river flows to the sea. So too, God's love flows through our lives and to those that are in need, who are broken, who are bruised, who are suffering in our lives. And what does he do? He says, how few workers on your knees and pray for harvest hands. The idea is that there are those who recognize the needs based upon what they're seeing from their heart. Their hearts are filled with compassion for those who are in need around them. And what do? Their hands respond and are a part of bringing God's love and God's life, God's healing and God's restoration to those who need it most. Let's take a moment and let's ask a question. Who are the people in our lives that are a step up in our networking experience? And who are the people that might be a step down? Who are the people that would be a step up? And who are the people that would be a step down as far as being a benefit to us? Stepping up is a benefit to me. Stepping down is sharing, giving, loving, opening up my life to be a part of someone's life being healed and being restored. If you've had somebody new come into the office, the newbie, what does the newbie normally get? The newbie normally, or the intern, that person who's kind of on the bottom rung, what do they normally get? They normally get the job, the responsibility that nobody else wants to do, right? Things flow down to them, but it's not necessarily the pretty things are flowing down to them. You know, whatever goes in the plumbing is going down towards their direction. What would happen if we used our influence? What if we used our position? What if we were a part of their lives and helping them become assimilated to the team and the group within our office, within our work structure? What is flowing down in that moment? Is love? Is compassion, is helping, is assistance. Each of us have had somebody new come onto our team. And we can be intentional about being a part of God's righteousness and justice flowing to that new person who's trying to figure out, who am I? What am I doing here? How is this all going to work out? What about a neighbor? What about somebody in our sphere of communication? Maybe it's a new family that their kid is in our class. You know, somebody who's a little bit different than we are. Does justice and righteousness flow down to them? Are we a part of lifting and bringing them up to see God's love and God's acceptance in the way that we interact with them? Let's take a moment and just ask Jesus to give us his heart towards those who need healed, those whose bodies are diseased, those who are bruised, those whose lives are hurting. Jesus, we want to have your heart. Why don't we all stand? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the Psalms, Psalm 155. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and great in faithful love. The Lord is good to everyone. His compassion rests on all he has made. Father, let us see with your eyes that you truly have made all things, and that your compassion is resting upon all things. May our first thought be to go to those who are in need of love and acceptance. May our first thought be to be your hands and your feet. May each of us begin to feel this drawing to hit our knees and to pray that you send laborers, you send hands, those who are wanting to be a part of your kingdom coming and your will being done here on this earth as it is in heaven. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May the God who interacts with us like righteousness and justice which flows down, splashes everywhere, may that God continue to be our heart's desire and our daily delight as we find the current of the interior world moving in his direction, flowing towards his compassionate love for those around us, for ourselves. May Jesus be seen and heard and felt through our words and our actions and our love this week. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.